Hey now, and welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. So this episode is going to be NFL special. We have the NFL draft tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday. Me and Jack are super excited for the draft, of course. It's one of the biggest days of the year in sports. But before we dive into our seven-round mock draft, I just wanted to touch on Nate Stanley real quick, give a former pod guest and a former Iowa Hawkeye a quick shout out. Nate Stanley negotiated a deal with new Vikings quarterback Patrick Peterson on acquiring the number 7, with the NFL changing the jersey rule where quarterbacks can wear anything from 1 through 49. So congrats, Nate, on getting some shoulder pads for your high school and maybe some other types of compensation that weren't reported by ESPN. And I also just have to say, Jack, like, I feel very free today. I finally got a haircut for the first time since last year's Super Bowl. I'm fitting that in because it's NFL related. So I'm feeling pretty good now with a fresh haircut after over a year. This is the first time I've been on the pod with a legit haircut. So the confidence is pretty high today. But Jack, you're ready to dive into the seven rounds, right?
I mean, seven rounds. I didn't know that we were going to go that deep.
I'm joking. We're doing one.
I was about to say.
We're doing one round. I wanted to see what you're going to say.
I've seen people that do seven round mock drafts, and like, I have no idea how people do it. Seriously, it's beyond me. Outside of the first round and even the first 16 picks, it's like, yeah, dude, you could just throw a dart anywhere and see if it sticks. Who knows? It's insane. You had me going for a second. I thought we were about to be here for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, no. Like, it's like with NBA mock drafts too. Like, if you go past the lottery, it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah, like, nobody knows what organization has who on their board where. And
right.
And the one thing I actually have been getting really annoyed with lately is not like the specific beat writers for teams that have like decent intel, but just national reporters saying, like, yesterday Ian Rappaport said that the Jags were doing their due diligence and FaceTiming Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields to make sure Trevor's still their guy. It's like, dude, no. That's just not true. Yeah. Like, Trevor Lawrence is going one. Everybody knows it. I don't know why we're sitting here and like, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. They're just trying to generate drama leading up into this. And so many people get caught up into it right now.
Well, think about it. Like, Trevor Lawrence is probably the first time since Andrew Luck where it's really been a true, I mean, I guess Joe Burrow last year too, but Joe Burrow is a little bit more talked about, like, leading up to the draft. Trevor Lawrence isn't even talked about on sports shows or anything anymore, because everybody is just known. Like, it's just like, Trevor's going number one. So it's just one of those things where it's almost like a boring number one pick compared. Like, I compare it to like the Browns in 2018 when they drafted Baker. Like, when Baker was drafted, that was
kind of surprising. Yeah.
It was like Darnold, Allen, Baker, like, who's going to get picked? Nobody knows. And like, who are the Jets going to pick? Like, that was such a good one because it was stirring the pot from the number one pick. Mm-hmm. This draft's a little different just because it's boring with the top two picks because people think Lawrence and Wilson are a lock. So now you're going into the other three quarterbacks. So let's just even cut out one and two. Let's not even go into the mock draft there. Trevor Lawrence is going one, Zach Wilson number two, which I'm going to be honest, I don't think Wilson's the second best quarterback on the on the board, but whatever the Jets see. I mean, the New York Jets, they pick very well, from Mark Sanchez to – you know, all their other great picks, you know, that they don't, you know, I looked at a thing a while ago, the Jets, I think since 2010 or 2013, somewhere in that range, only have like last year's number one pick on their roster still, like the last two, like Jamal Adams is gone, Sheldon Richardson's gone. Like, they literally basically they sign guys at number, you know, they take a number one pick and then they're like, you know what, 2-3 years. Yeah. You're gone. Like, it's okay. We don't need a franchise player anymore. Like, we're the Jets. We're here to suck. We'll sign veteran guys, and that's good enough for us. We like it.
They'll be weird and they'll go out and sign Le'Veon Bell and Frank Gore to be running backs. Yeah. And it's like, man, that's just like, why are you going out and signing free agent running backs when like, you could just draft one? Right. And then, like, you just trade Le'Veon Bell or cut him. Or I don't even know what. Yeah, they cut him. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? That was so crazy, man. The Jets stay being Jets, for real. Yeah. And maybe that Zach Wilson pick will be Jets being Jets. I actually have no idea. I have no opinion on Zach Wilson, to be honest. I mean, he's whatever.
Well, what's crazy to me with the Jets is I think back to, you know, over 10 years ago now, back to, like, 2009 when Sanchez was there and everything. And back in the day, we actually thought the Jets were good. And I forget what that's even like. Like, if you think about it, like, the Jets are one of the few teams in sports where it's very easy to remember that they were ever good.
Like, Like, that made no sense to me.
Oh, that didn't make sense? I'm basically saying, like, the Jets are one of the few teams, like, in recent, like, history and recent memory where you even forget that they had good years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The like, Jets and the Jaguars.
Like, most teams in a 10-year period. Well, the Jaguars, you can remember. 2017. You can remember they were good.
Oh, they were good, and then they just literally atomic bombed the entire organization.
Yeah, they Marlins'd it.
Because they had no business being good. They knew that they weren't good. I mean, and they did the same thing. What the Jags did is, like, what the Bears should have done is they realized that the quarterback they picked sucked, and they just said, all right, let's start from scratch. The Bears will never, ever, ever, ever do that, but that's why Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence now and, like, $1 trillion in cap space, and they were able to get Urban Meyer to come out of retirement, and the Bears have Matt Nagy. They have, like, $100,000 in cap space.
$400,000.
Barely, man. So, yeah, the Jags are – they're borderline relevant. Borderline. I think they're relevant for just being so bad and continually being bad and being, like, okay with being bad. I think that's the Jags.
Yeah. Well, the thing with the Jags, though, is I actually don't – give in to the, like, they're going to be losers, like, soon. Like, they're actually one of the few times in a rebuild where I actually believe in what they're building, because, like, for me, I follow, like, a lot of stuff, like, just even front office, like, people and stuff like that, and the Jags literally stole from the Texans, like, the top PR person in the NFL to work for them, and this was, like, a huge hire that went around the league because everybody was like, she's leaving the Texans because obviously they're falling apart, but why the hell did she go to Jacksonville? And it was just a testament to what they're trying to build and all these other people just flocking there, basically saying, we're bought into Trevor Lawrence, we're bought into Urban. And I'm interested to see how Urban does. I think if they do better than 4 wins next year, I think they're going to be on track to be a playoff team in Trevor's second or third year. I think if they do anywhere better than 4 wins, because I think next year's free agency is going to be huge for them. So I'm interested to see what happens. But diving back into the draft, so we have at number 3, we got the San Francisco 49ers. So there's been a lot of statements over the last couple of days in the media. If people follow the NFL, people have been saying Mac Jones. People have been saying Trey Lance. Justin Fields was in there for a minute. Who do you think goes at 3?
It's going to be Trey Lance. There's no way they can take Mac Jones. If you're Kyle Shanahan and you have reached a ceiling of your offense and it's because your quarterback is, like, stagnant. He's not able to create huge plays because he's just the way he is. Mac Jones, I personally don't think he's the type of guy that can throw 70, 80 yard bombs and compete toe to toe with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's that type of player. That's what San Francisco has been missing. A type of player that can have big plays come out and go toe to toe with a great offense. The only way you can do that is by drafting a quarterback like Trey Lance and then sitting him for a year behind Garoppolo and saying, okay, red shirt, get good. Jimmy, you're gone. I don't know if they're going to do that, but Trey Lance
gives them the highest ceiling.
I don't know if they'll trade Jimmy, but speaking of trades, a trade just happened while we were talking. The Broncos just acquired Teddy Bridgewater for a 6th round pick.
Wow.
So I'm looking at my draft board right here. If San Fran takes Trey Lance, I firmly believe Atlanta is going to take Kyle Pitts, but I'll talk about Atlanta in a sec. I think they are maybe going to trade Julio. Cincinnati, I think, is 100% going to take a tackle. I don't think there's any way you can with Joe Burrow just blowing his knee out. If you don't take a tackle, Like, it's crazy. They just signed Riley Reiff to a 2-year contract with a 1-year option on it. So it really is just like they signed Riley Reiff in case they couldn't get the tackle they wanted. But he's 31. He's not your tackle of the future. And Jonah Williams has been banged up. So Cincinnati should go tackle. Miami, they're going to go receiver 1,000%.
You're running through this. You got to go a little slower. We're going to
– hold on. Oh,
you're making a point. Okay.
Let's the point I'm making is since Denver was one of the QB needy teams because they're not sold on Locke, if you can cross out Denver, the only two spots you can trade up to for a quarterback now is Carolina or Detroit. And the Bears will not be able to do a trade with Detroit. No way. So now here's the question. Will Chicago give Miami a trade package sick enough to go up to 6? Because I think Detroit is actually going to take Justin Fields if he goes there. I really do.
You think the Lions are going to do that?
Yes. I could see them taking Justin Fields. I could see them taking Justin Fields. 100%.
So I think at 3, so I've been torn between Trey Lance and Fields because I feel like Fields is the player who should go there, but I don't think people are going to take him at 3. So I think it's going to be Trey Lance, but I think Mac Jones, I think the thing with Mac Jones is until I see him throw to players that aren't Heisman Trophy winners and Najee Harris in your backfield, I don't know how legitimately good he is. Like, I've heard so many mixed things. Like, he's obviously a first-round pick, but I just don't know. Like, it's just when you play with all that talent, it's just too hard to tell. And then when you have a pro day, too, where they're in your pro day, like, that doesn't help. But I think 3 – so 3 is probably going to be Trey Lance. But 4, this is where I'm so stuck. 4 is where I'm stuck because for the last week and a half, I've been saying it, they're going to take Pitts. But the two things I keep thinking, I don't think the Patriots are going to trade up. I just don't think they do it. But when I have seen things about the Patriots trading up for Fields, it would make a lot of sense. And it would be a hell of a move to rejuvenate that organization at quarterback and speed up that process for them where they made all these big signings. But the other thing I think about, though, is if Atlanta took Justin Fields, that is literally – like. It, for Georgia, for the state of Georgia, it could not get better than that, except that they got Trevor Lawrence. Because if you look at Justin Fields, he's a Georgia kid, played at Georgia, wanted to be a Georgia Bulldog, was basically forced out because they chose Fromm over him. And then you look at the Falcons, and you look at the talent that's still there, where if you have Matt Ryan play a year, you sit Fields. I think Fields could be not Mahomes, but he could be that type of level for that team if he sat a year under Matt Ryan.
So the thing I have with Atlanta, which you could definitely see a Justin Fields pick, the thing that brings me back to like
– that sells tickets too. Justin Fields coming
home.
That
sells tickets, man. But I don't think that matters when Atlanta's got like 3 cents in cap space. They just restructured Matt Ryan to like make cap space. And there's rumors that Julio is on the trade block. And the thing with Julio is there are serious rumors that he could get traded to either Vegas or Baltimore. But the thing that would have to happen is a trade would have to be agreed upon in principle before the draft. Mm-hmm. So Baltimore or Vegas wouldn't take a receiver knowing they're getting Julio. And that Atlanta could take Pitts or a different offensive weapon because they know they need to fill that hole. What happens is if they trade him before the draft and they make it known and all of this happens, they eat $40 million in dead cap. So Atlanta, like, can't trade Julio until after June 1st. Right. So they need, like, something to give. If they draft Justin Fields, I personally think Falcon fans are going to be berserk just because in their eyes, that is a complete waste of a first.
Right when you have Matt Ryan right there. Yeah. No,
right that's, when you have
that's
Matt
why
Ryan.
I've been torn. It's
but I could see Atlanta trading out a 4 and dropping down to like 15, like where New England is. I could definitely see that happening because they don't have to take a quarterback right now. They could take Kyle Pitts, and that would be a phenomenal move for them if they end up moving on from Julio. But the situation still remains, like, they have a terrible cap situation and they need to relieve it somehow. If they trade Julio after June 1st, it's only a $2 million dead cap hit on them. So they're able to, like, actually swallow that for this season, and the rest of it gets sprinkled over the next 2 years. Thankfully, revenue will be up and the salary cap will hopefully be normal again. But I could see Atlanta going a ton of different directions. I think their phone's going to be ringing off the hook tomorrow. I really do. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that want to go up to four because, like I've just kind of forecasted earlier, I think Cincinnati and Miami are pretty dead set on doing what they're going to do. One of my buddies said Miami probably won't trade back again because they traded out of three because they were like, we're going to overpick on a receiver.
Yeah.
Let's just drop down to six. That makes a ton of sense.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think Miami's going to leave. I don't think Cincinnati's going to leave. So I think this Atlanta pick is, without a doubt, a million times more interesting. And I think for the entire draft than the San Francisco pick. I think the San Francisco pick's been a little blown out of proportion. I personally,
I think Shanahan and Lynch have known. What one thing I heard a few weeks ago is basically they know who they're taking, but it's literally them two that know, and that's it. They're keeping it super tight knit.
Well, and
which would make total sense.
Yeah, and here's another thing to think about with Shanahan that I wrote down was in 2018 when the Bears made that, or it was 2017 or 18 when the Bears made that bonehead move. Right, hold on, bear with me. The Niners at the time had Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback, and they took Solomon Thomas at number three instead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. If we're going to sit here and say Kyle Shanahan is a genius quarterback evaluator, I don't know about that. He's a great coach. He's great at coaching. Don't get that twisted. But, like, he's not – like, he hasn't proven anything as a quarterback evaluator. He traded up for – no offense to C.J. Beathard, Sunshine's the man. He traded up for Beathard, who's no longer on the roster. That's a bonehead move.
I don't think that any – to be fair, I don't think anybody's a true talent evaluator. I think it's more how you develop the players you have. That's –
Definitely is based on like where, like the situation you're in. Cause like if Sam Darnold got drafted by San Fran and not the Jets, Sam Darnold could be like a legit top 15 quarterback right now. Who knows?
I think Darnold's going to come into his own.
Yeah, I do as well. I think he is an absolute slinger and he's actually got a decent team now that like, if nothing's open downfield, we all know Sam Darnold's got problems throwing the ball wherever he wants. He has Christian McCaffrey now as his, like, safety valve. Exactly.
Well, he had no weapons before.
Exactly. It's such a perfect, like, recipe for him because he's – the biggest knock on Darnold's always been the guy needs to chill out throwing the ball wherever he wants. Now he's got the safest safety valve, not named Alvin Kamara, coming out of the backfield. Like, it's – I think that's going to be awesome. But back to the draft, yeah, this Atlanta pick, man, it's going to be – I think that's – technically, in my eyes, it's like the number one pick in the draft.
Nobody has any idea
what's going to happen.
And if you know, outside of Trevor Lawrence, but I think in terms of overall talent, I think Pitts is the most talented player in the draft.
Oh, without a doubt, man. That guy is like Megatron and Darren Waller had a baby.
Yeah.
And that's Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. And like, what's crazy is you can never say somebody's a safe pick just because you never really know what will happen. But he, in terms of a top pick, is the safest pick of them all because he can do everything.
I would say so.
The thing, one crazy thing I heard was the Patriots draft Pitts, and then they have a three tight end set and change football basically with Smith and then Pitts. And then who's the other tight end they got? They got Geonu Smith, New England, Geonu Smith.
Pitt. It's in Hunter Henry.
Yeah, Hunter Henry, dude. How did I forget that? I love Hunter Henry.
Because he doesn't usually play.
Yeah. He plays eight games a year. He's like a snowbird. He's like a Florida snowbird in the NFL. Only works part time. But the thing with the Bengals pick is if they don't draft the lineman, they're stupid. They're just stupid. Yeah, but the fun move would be if they get Jamar Chase. Yeah. Like that is so electric. Like that is like,
I agree.
Because the thing is, if they got Chase and then Miami got Devontae Smith and they're playing with their college QBs, Like, oh, dude, that is like the dream scenario for a quarterback, to play the guy, the guy you already have a relationship and connection with, who has the NFL talent and ability to actually be a star player with you.
And not to mention, Burrow was top five in rookie-to-rookie connections with T. Higgins last year.
He was not unreal. He was unreal.
They already have that connection, and they have Tyler Boyd, Auden Tate. They got weapons there in Cincinnati. They could have, like, a very – but it comes down to, like, can you guard Burrow? And that's – man, the guy already got hurt. His knee was torn apart. People were afraid he wouldn't be back this year.
I still thought it was stupid that they even let him play that first year. I thought they should have sat him out, let whatever backup take all the blows because they had no O-line.
Oh, man.
Tank.
Oh, God. What do you think the fans would say, man?
What fans, dude? They weren't in the stadium.
No, they're just in general. Like, they would have heard him from
Cincinnati
the
refs. Has fans?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
They do?
Yeah. I mean, if you're not a Browns fan, it's being a Bengals fan
or you're a Steelers fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's its own problem right now.
So
yeah, Cincinnati, I think they're gonna go tackle. I mean, if they're smart, their fans have freaking Tank for Sewell signs in the stands.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
And then
I think they should do it.
And then Miami, I mean, if Jamar Chase is there, I think Jamar Chase goes there. I don't think Devontae Smith does, even though as fun as it would be, and as much as Tua would probably want to see Devontae on that team with him, because then Devontae already made him look really good in college. You can make him look really good again in the NFL. I think Jamar Chase goes there. And then,
yeah, and if Jamar goes five, I think Waddle is going to go six. I don't think Miami will take another tackle because they waited last year, and they took Austin Jackson last year, like mid first, and that was kind of a screw up. They should have traded up because they had a million picks, but I could see them going for another receiver. That was the biggest problem Miami had, was just like Tua.
Oh yeah,
like Tua was
outside,
like,
outside the numbers.
No, he couldn't, and Tua's problem was, like, he also doesn't know what, like, pro open looks like.
Yeah.
But you can't really see pro open when your receivers don't get open. So I think any skill position pick for Miami there would be good. Best available, probably.
Yeah. But the thing with Waddle is I don't know why people are putting him higher than Smith, to be honest.
Just because nobody thinks Smith can play inside the hash. They think he's 165 pounds, like, wet, and they don't think that he can that's the only thing. You can only play, like, right now, you could only realistically play Smith outside, and that's where some people kind of
get scared. That's where development and weightlifting, though, comes into play too. You obviously bulk up once you get into the league. Like, you have your speed, but once I look at college, like, I look at what Ferentz does. He takes guys who are, you know, half the size, you know, that they are now as freshmen, and he builds them into double that or whatever's healthy, whatever's healthy for them at that position and at their size, they transform bodies. So it's just like with the NFL, it's the same thing. You see guys come in and they're out of shape. They're not where they should be. Quarterback Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's done a lot on his own, but, like, you know, look at what he was before he got in. And then after, like, you know, it's unreal, like, the transformation. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I think with Smith is, if the talent's there, you can't really deny talent.
So one, going on to the next pick, Detroit at seven, one wrinkle that I've kind of personally had with it is I think Detroit could be convinced to trade out. Now, like I said earlier, I don't think it could be Chicago that will convince them, but a team like the Chargers, who really wants a good tackle for Herbert, I could see them going up to, was it seven, and taking Slater, taking whoever they want at seven, because they realize, like, they have a lot already there for Justin Herbert. You might as well just protect the guy. I mean, he's your franchise guy. I could see the Chargers coming up, but then it comes back to who needs a quarterback, and that's New England, that's Washington, Chicago. They're all going to want to move up there.
Obviously, I just don't see Chicago. I don't think Chicago is going to move up. If they move up, they're moving up to, like, 13.
Well, they'll move up. Like, if they really, if someone falls in Chicago's eyes that is on, like, their board, they have the means and the reason to go up there and do it. Now, it matters on who it is. And I've said that in like a lot of the group chats I'm in. If they trade up for like Mac Jones, I'm dead.
I would, yeah.
I'm literally rolling over and dead. That's not a guy you trade up for.
There's only one guy I want them trading up for, and that's Justin Fields. If they don't do it for him.
I would even be okay with trading up for Trey Lance just because
I don't trust the Bears with Trey Lance.
I do just because like I could definitely see Nagy getting fired after this year and then just being like, hey, we have Trey Lance. Fuck it. Let's see who can come in and like fix him or make him sweet. Like I'm so cool with having a really cool player that like could be really good.
A Favre type of player.
Yeah, man. I'm so on board with them taking that and then sitting them. But again, like who does Chicago trade up with the next pick? I mean, first off, let's not go past Detroit. If Detroit keeps their pick, who are they taking? I have on my board, I have them taking Patrick Surtain from Bama. But then I kind of take a step back and I'm like, they took Okuda last year. Would they go 2 years in a row? But well, then I look at their corner depth chart. I don't know anybody on their corner depth chart. They stink.
Yeah,
they're bad. And the Bears, not to say that their corner depth chart's any better, but they just took Desmond Trufant from Detroit, who couldn't stay healthy last year. So I really do think Detroit needs a corner. But, like, what else could they possibly even take?
I could see them going wide receiver because
well, then I could see them going Waddle. I could see them going Waddle.
That's where definitely. I see them. I see them taking a receiver because then it's like they can say, oh, we like Galladay and these guys. And it's like, oh, we got a young stud coming in to be with. Because, like, the one thing that the Lions can sell right now is the idea that they're building something under Dan Campbell. Like, Dan Campbell's done quite a bit of media since he's gotten the job. And they basically have to sell Goff and whatever offensive weapons he has. That's basically it. That's all they can sell right now. They're rebuilding the defense. I think the rest of their draft's going to be heavy defense. Mm-hmm. But I think if they get that shiny offensive weapon, they're going to be able to say to Lions fans, you know, this is a 10-year player for us. And, you know, we're building something in the next 2 years, and then we're going to go with a guy like Goff or, you know, whatever they do if they keep him.
Right.
Washington football team. Who do you have them taken?
Washington's not until 19.
I meant Carolina. I was looking at trade.
You're good. Carolina, well, like you just kind of alluded to, I could definitely see Washington trading up. I could definitely see New England trading up.
Well, Washington traded back.
Well, I could see them trading up if a quarterback falls. Like, that's the thing. When you have, like, New England, Washington, and Chicago all kind of, like, jockeying for whoever they want, like, these 7 through 10 picks, and I'm going to include Dallas just because, like, who knows what Jerry thinks right now. But, like, those 7 through 10, like, they could honestly be make or break it picks in the draft on who trades up, who doesn't, who goes where. Because, like I said, you could see L.A. come up for 7 and take a tackle that pushes the quarterback down another pick. And you could see a team trade out.
I see the Panthers taking a tackle.
Yeah, I have them taking Slater. That's who I have them taking.
That's who I have them taking.
But, like, then if you're Carolina, you're not, like, terribly sold on Slater. I could see them trading out of that because that's, like, Slater, you're taking tackles because you need a tackle. Do you think Rashawn Slater is better than Tristan Wirfs? That's, like, because he's being picked higher than where Wirfs was, and that's where, like, yes, teams need tackles, and tackles are very good. But
last year's draft was loaded with linemen. And I still said Wirfs should have gone 1. That was my whole thing. Like, should have been the number 1 tackle off the board. He went like 3rd or 4th on the list. So with him getting traded at 13, if it was any other year, like this year, where there's a few linemen, where they're really like just also it's so close, I think getting a guy at 8 or 9 is completely fair.
I agree.
It's nothing away from Wirfs' value.
No. But what I'm saying, I'm comparing them based on their draft position, firmly based on that, not comparing the player. I'm not comparing the player at all. I'm comparing based on their value on where they're picked. Would you say because Slater's picked at 9, is he better than a Tristan Wirfs type of tackle? No, I wouldn't.
No, but so you can't say I'm going to wait till 13 because it's all about who's in the draft.
Well, that's my point being Carolina, I don't think they have a drastic need at tackle. Like they have Greg Little, they signed another guy, they have Taylor Moten. Like they could go with what they have right now. and be okay with it. If they don't, if they're not sold on Slater, what I'm saying is, like, I don't personally see Slater as being like a top 10 pick. He's great. If a team needs a tackle, they'll take him there. But, like, point being, I don't see him better as like a Wirfs. And if a team isn't sold on Slater, I could definitely see them trading out of 9, 10, whatever, 8, 9, 10. I could see that. But if a team really wants that tackle, Slater would be the guy to go.
Yeah, no, I
agree. So then 9 with Denver. I mean, they just made the trade for Bridgewater, gave up a 6th. I had penciled in that they were going to take Fields at 9. Like, that's what I had written in. So now I had them
taking Parsons.
I could see them doing that with Von Miller getting a little older.
Yeah, that's what I. That's.
I could definitely see that opposite of Chubb, rather. I could see that.
And now with them making the Bridgewater move, if they had to, like if they were doing a holdover type thing, like have classic Bridgewater on his third team, have Bridgewater for a year, then bring in your real quarterback, you know, tank and basically get a guy like Spencer Rattler or something with your team, with your defense already kind of have its core of Chubb. And they have some other great corner, not great, but they have some decent position. Like Callahan, I think, still there. Like they have some guys who like they can still be around while you're building your team. Some cornerstone pieces. And who's on their D line again? Denver. I feel like they have
their D line. They have like Shelby Harris.
That's a great question, man.
I don't even know. But that's the thing about this draft class. There is no first round like defensive line prospect that anybody should take in the top 10. Like interior. They don't have like any, but like that's the thing, man. You can't, there's the only D lineman I could see someone taking like worth a damn inside interior guy in the first round would be Barmore from Alabama. But I don't have him going until like the end of the first.
Oh, you know who they have? I was thinking they had a good cornerback. I was like, why am I blanking out? Their defense is looking great right now. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, they have, because they were decent last year, because they have Kyle Fuller, who I totally forgot they had. That's mm-hmm. who we were blanking mm-hmm. on at corner. They have Darby, they have Callahan, they have Michael. I should know his last name.
Ojemudia, baby.
Ojemudia, yeah. And then Justin Simmons, like Kareem Jackson, like they have dudes there. Like it's really their D line. Add another linebacker there, or it's basically go quarterback because they have an O line that's decent. It's okay. They wouldn't draft there. They have Melvin Gordon at running back. Like, you know, wide receiver, they have Judy and they have Sutton. So it's like really for them, it's quarterback, linebacker, D line. That's kind of the three needs.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dallas, I don't know, man.
I've been having a tough time with Dallas. To be honest,
I could go a lot of directions with Dallas. I wrote in Jalen Phillips because I think like DeMarcus Lawrence has been increasingly hurt for the Cowboys. He can't stay healthy. Their D line is pretty porous. Sean Lee just retired. You could afford to have some sort of athlete edge guy in Dallas because. Like, they drafted based on need a couple years ago, and they took Taco Charlton, and that completely flopped. That was a total failure. I'm like, I look at the best available players. They took best available last year, and that was CeeDee Lamb. Great idea.
Yeah. No, but that was
They continued to kick that can down the road of, what are we going to do for the defense? The best option they have going defense, if Parsons just goes, is Jalen Phillips. Caleb Farley, the corner from Va Tech, who people say might still need more surgeries. Aziz Ojulari. If Certain doesn't go to like Detroit, 100% he should go to Dallas. Like they could do anything defensively. But then you hear Jerry Jones and he's like, I kind of like Kyle Pitts. And it's like,
what is Dallas doing, man? If you look at their O-line isn't great anymore. They don't have the Dallas O-line that they've had. So I have them taking a lineman. I have them taking either let me see what I've written down. I have either
Christian Darrisaw.
Christian Darrisaw out of VT, or I have Tucker out of USC.
Yeah, I have Tucker going in a couple picks, but I agree. See, like, and now that's the thing, Sam.
It's like you invest in the quarterback, you invest in, like, I would be investing in a lineman.
Do you think, now this is like kind of like the same thing, do you think any of these tackles are like better than the top 10 or the top four tackles from last year? Because then I think a team has to take a step back and say, okay, are we stretching based on need, or are we taking the best available? And that's where, like, is Tucker the best available at 10, or is that just their need? And I don't think he's better than Tristan Wirfs. Now, no. That's what Tampa took need last year, and they took the best available at the same time. That was a phenomenal. And I like using this Wirfs example.
As hell.
They got really lucky, but they drafted how you're supposed to draft. Like, their need and the best available lined up. With Dallas, like, yeah, dude, they could do a tackle bad. They could take one right now and be totally cool with it. But, like, is that going to do with them anything? I don't know. So it's.
But then I think that goes into the later rounds where if you're drafting defensive pieces there too, because I think what's going to happen for them is they draft one O-lineman either first or second round, and then it's going to be all defense because they really don't need anything else. Because I think for them, it hurts them more if they draft O-line in third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds compared to getting a guy who, let's just say, I'm going to even go to Madden ratings to use for an analogy here. If they get a guy who's a 75 lineman coming out, let's just say 75, he's not an 80, he's like middle tier first rounder, okay? 75 to protect Dak is decent starting out. Like, that's going to help significantly if you have a bunch of 72s on your O-line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the value of drafting an O-line, because they just made this investment in Dak. They've been investing in Zeke. They have Cooper too, like all that. Like, if they're paying all these guys and then they're rebuilding the defense right now and making that the emphasis and taking it away from the offense, then what's going to happen is you're going to have this really good offense that doesn't live up to anything because your defense can't stay off or keeps putting your offense back on the field.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, catch up. So that's where I see a lineman being super valuable for them.
Now, the next pick with the Giants, I could see the Giants making the most Giants pick ever. I had them taking Parsons because that was before the whole trade. But since all of those edges, Phillips, Parsons, whoever might be off the board, I could see them going Kwity Paye from Michigan, the guy who, like, everybody thinks is going to be disgusting. But
that's who I have too.
Kwity Paye is like the least impressive prospect in terms of production because the guy's like done nothing, but he is like everything athletically that you would want. I could see the Giants 1,000,000% doing that, but the real pick I do think they should make is that corner from South Carolina, because I think losing DeAndre Baker to, like, Horn. Whatever the fuck that was.
J.C. Horn.
I think that they should replace Baker with J.C. Horn and, like, actually solidify a little, because you could take a receiver there, but I don't know.
I have Kwity Paye going there. That's who I
do
have
too.
Going there.
I do too. I could see, but, like, I could see Devontae Smith going there. I could 100% see that happening. I could see Gettleman being so overly excited with seeing the Heisman Trophy.
Well, that's who I was trying to decide between Devontae Smith and Kwity Paye, because I was thinking Devontae Smith, they can hype that up, like, you know, our next OBJ type of thing, like,
exactly
number one type of guy for Daniel Jones. But that guy needs, I'm not gonna talk about Daniel Jones, but the thing is just, I think that they're gonna go like a safety pick with Kwity Paye.
In safety is even in quotations. The guy hasn't really done much. I mean, he's the best athlete that you could take right there, but who knows if he's even going to do shit for real. Like,
When you're drafting at 11, Gettleman gets some leeway where if this guy's just an average player, it doesn't really hurt him.
Right. Oh, and especially with how much information these teams have, like, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be really interesting to see what these teams do, because there's going to be a lot of players available based on your need, but I really feel like there's going to be a lot of stretches and a lot of weird picks, because I don't know how many, like, draft boards are going to be similar, but I think this is going to be, like, unprecedented. You know, I don't know if this is going to be a draft like many others we've seen. So if we have pay going here at 11. I have Devontae going to Philly, and I have them trying to like right their wrongs with the Jalen Reagor pick. I saw the video. I don't have a wide out here.
I have a defensive guy.
I saw the video yesterday of when Philly traded up ahead of Minnesota to take a receiver, and they took Reagor. The Minnesota team, like the front office, the brass, was laughing because they knew they got Justin Jefferson. Philly had absolutely nothing go their way this past year. They could go tackle and they would be fine. But I don't know if there's going to be many like sure shot great value tackles to take there compared to having Devontae Smith, where they don't have any receiver. They have a converted quarterback in Greg Ward as their like leading receiver. They could afford to make Jalen Hurts' job, or whoever's even starter, because they won't even commit to Jalen, whoever's the starter in Philly's life easier. Devontae Smith, I mean, I think Philly fans could get behind a guy like Devontae Smith, 100%.
Oh, for sure. But the guy I see going there, and I don't know how to say his name exactly. I drafted
Where's him. He from?
Georgia. Aziz Ojulari.
Yeah.
I love him. So I have him going there, because if you look at the Eagles defense with guys like Brandon Graham and Fletcher
Cox, getting old,
and stuff,
yeah.
It's just old. So it's like get a young guy in there. I love how he plays. I think he's a phenomenal lineman. So I was like, you know, bring that aggression and bring that physicality to Philly and kind of kick things off with that new regime there on defense and get the fans going that way. So that's what I have there, like with the Philly grit. And then who do you got next with the Chargers?
I have the Chargers taking whatever tackle they can. If they don't trade up, like I said earlier, I have the Chargers taking whatever tackle. So, like, right here, it's Barrett Tucker. And then Minnesota, I also have them taking a tackle. I really don't think there's anything they can do for their defense right now that would make them better at this pick. Like, you could take a corner, but then that completely disregards that Pat Pete signing. There's no linebacker worth a damn there at 14. I think you wait on that. And they just, like I said, they let Riley Reiff go to Cincinnati. So you should probably fill that hole. And plus, when you have Dalvin Cook as like your main bell cow for the offense, it makes sense to continue and make, you know, the job of the people who make Cook's job easier, just, you know, strengthen it a little. So I have him going Darisaw. I obviously don't know, you know, where, who's going to go there. But I do think, I just have a tackle. I really don't know.
So with New England here, let's just say New England stays at 15
Mac Jones.
Now.
Mac Jones, 100%. Like, I don't think you can go anywhere else if you're – they've invested so much money in free agency to fill the holes that you could have filled in the draft. The only hole that they really have left is receiver. And if they have a receiver at 15 that they really like – okay, sure. It's going to be a crazy move if they do, but
But then it's going to be the whole Bill Belichick flack of, hey, he can't draft receiver because look at the guys he's taken before.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, right, and that's going to be very interesting because they took Harry in the first,
at 32, but
all right. So I think New England could afford to pick Mac Jones.
I think they take quarterback there too.
If they don't take Jones or a quarterback, I could see them trading back. Like, I don't see a ton for them
with New England too. Kraft even basically said we're doing things entirely different than years past, which either means we're taking a quarterback early or we're trading up. Because think about it. All they've done in previous drafts is trade back, trade down,
right.
At a higher pick or at a lower pick for higher value. Like, they're the thrift shoppers of the NFL.
Yeah.
But now they're going to, you know, pay a little bit of a premium. They want to spend. And I think getting Mac Jones here would be, you know, very good for them because it provides stability to the offense, I think. I think when, you know, with the tight ends they got, with some of the people they have that they brought in the building, I think if Mac Jones was their quarterback of the future, they'd still be competing for the playoffs no matter what. I think Mac Jones, like, he doesn't make – I think – does he compete for a Super Bowl against Pat Mahomes? No. But do they make it to an AFC championship sometime in the next 4 years? I think they do.
And this is like the take I've had on Mac Jones as well, is like he could do well in a system like New England where there's already talent there for Mac Jones to work
with. Exactly.
I don't think Mac Jones is the type of player where if you bring him in, he's going to elevate your offense and make your offense better.
Yeah, he's not a Brady. He's a game manager.
I think he comes in and he does what he has in front of him. Now, if he comes into an offense where they don't have like a good O-line, I think Mac Jones is dead to rights, terrible. I think he's going to get released and traded. If Mac Jones comes into a system like New England where they have weapons like tight ends and running backs and a great play caller in Josh McDaniels, he will be successful. I don't think Mac Jones is that type of guy where he makes everyone better around him. And that's going to be, I think that's a very Bill Belichick pick because Brady made everyone around him better. You take a guy like Mac Jones, you're taking a chance on someone that everyone says can't make people around him better. He's just a result of his surroundings. And you say, fuck it, I'm going to make him the shit. We are going to the ship with him. I could see Belichick all over that wagon, all over it.
So I know we were going to wrap up at,
No, we can go. Oh, we can go a little longer.
We can go. Okay, because yeah, I was going to say we could jump to the Bears pick if you wanted.
No, we could. No, we'll just go to the Bears pick. Yeah, we'll stop at Bears because, like, post Bears, like I have a bunch of picks on my board, but it's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
After the Bears pick, like, actually, I don't.
No, I agree. I agree. So let's go Cardinals next pick.
Cardinals. I think that's
quarterback. Me too. 100%.
But see, now this is the most Cardinals pick. I could see them going Caleb Farley, who's not even ready to play. I think he's going to need surgery to like be able to play. But the guy is the outside corner. They need them to take like an outside shutdown number one, number two corner. They don't have
Pearson replacement. That's what they need.
They need an outside corner. I think Farley's the guy, but I also think Newsom from Northwestern could go there. I think if they like Newsom a lot, he could definitely go there. What's next? Vegas? I have him going tackle.
Yeah. I have him going tackle?
Yeah, I have him going Tevin Jenkins from OK State because they just because they got rid of Trent Brown and
that's who I have the Bears taking.
Yeah, well, I've been banging the drum for the Bears to take Jenkins. I'd love him to play right tackle for the Bears, but I think Vegas is going to be a net. I think they're going to think he's exactly what like a road grading mauler that they could run Jacobs behind. What more could Gruden want? I think Jenkins is like a hell of a fit for them. It would hurt me if they took him there because I really want Chicago to get Jenkins, but I think that pick makes two cents just to take a tackle for them. There's no defensive pick for them to take there. I know their defense stinks. There's just nothing.
Tackle wise, I had them taking Cosme out of Texas.
I could see that. I could definitely see that as well. I could also see Oakland going the guy from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I could see them going there just because he fills a lot of roles that they kind of don't have on defense. They don't have like a great cover linebacker. Jonathan Abram isn't even a safety. He's just like a missile. The guy doesn't cover. He just hits. Oh. So if you could have any coverage help from a linebacker that they could pick right there, I think Owusu would be a good pick, but I do think like they'll go tackle.
Well, speaking of linebacker, I have Miami taking Jeremiah out of Notre Dame. I have him going to Miami. I think with Van Noy, where that didn't work out, I think they are desperate for a talented linebacker.
Yeah, I have Miami taking Zaven Collins from Tulsa. He's like two. I think he's bulked up to like 270. He's a big boy now. I could see them. I could see Flores looking at him and seeing like a Kyle Van Noy, seeing a guy that could play in three or four different spots, different roles. I could see that. Next, Washington. I have Washington going safety from TCU. That Mooring guy, but that's only because Landon Collins just tore his Achilles. Like that's, you need a safety.
Yeah. So you're saying, okay. So I have a wide receiver going here. Wide receiver, which one?
Who'd they just get to pair with McLaurin? They signed someone, didn't they?
They got Curtis Samuel. But I was thinking, I was thinking like this cowboy young trio around like a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year, if that's who's quarterback for them next year, and just have exciting young guys. And then you come in next year, still shitty record, get a good pick, draft a young quarterback, boom, you have your core.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think Washington could go a lot of places.
So I had Marshall going there. I had Terrace Marshall going.
They need a size receiver. That would be really good. I could see Washington going a lot of different directions. I don't think like they could really be wrong with any of them. Their team's in such a good position going forward. And Brandon, like Ryan Fitzpatrick's not your future, but you had Taylor Heinicke come in and prove that like he could be an all right quarterback. You have your backup, like for sure, a young backup that could possibly be something for the future. They're in great position, man.
Well, the thing good, what he good could on them. Be, and this is a stretch, but the thing he could be is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
For them.
Oh, here, funny thing about Kirk Cousins, you bring him up. That was my pro comparison to piss people off with Mac Jones. I call him a Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan mixture, and people don't like that. They're like, well, that's a winning. I'm like, I don't care, man. That guy's just like, he's just there. You know, like I'm not like writing home about Kirk Cousins. That was my pro comp for Mac Jones.
I love that. And lastly, to end the draft, we got the Bears pick. I already said my pick. Who do you have the Bears pick?
I mean, I've been banging on that that Tevin Jenkins drum. I'd love that. But here's the thing. I think Chicago at 20, I think there's going to be a lot of teams who feel pressured by Vegas, Miami, Washington, and Chicago in a row. And they're going to see those are four teams in a row that could possibly take a tackle. And if tackles don't go to Vegas, Miami, Washington, I could see a team like Pittsburgh calling up Chicago and saying, hey, we really want a tackle. I could see Chicago going down at 24. If they don't, I could see Chicago going corner. Now, it's scary because I don't want them to take an injury-prone corner to match with Johnson because Johnson's already got a bum shoulder. So that is Newsom. He's a little hurt. Farley, he's a little hurt. So we'll see what the Bears do. But, like, I would love them to take a tackle. If there's a receiver that they have really high on their board, I mean, sure. Like at this point, sure, that you could use any weapon on the Chicago offense to try and make it more explosive. I could go for a Rashad Bateman. He's a guy that could play the slot, and he's a big body that can actually catch ball, do his thing, leave Mooney on the outside with A-Rob. That's a good team and a decent receiving
core. My problem with this draft is, like, I'm so, like, checked out with the whole pace regime.
What do you mean?
You're wasting a pick for us, and then you're out of here. That's, like, where my headspace is at.
It's man, you know, and the other player that could be available at 20 that is a sleeper, but a lot of people are saying he's not a true tackle is Alex Leatherwood. And I like him a lot, but a lot of people just say he's not like a true tackle. And look, I don't give a shit what people say, man. Any tackle from Alabama that's winning the Outland Best Lineman of the Year, like he's a good lineman, you know.
Yeah.
He was a top 5-star recruit coming out of high school. It's not like the guy's bad. So I would be totally okay with a lot of tackles.
I don't want the Bears, unless it's to get Justin Fields. I don't want them doing anything crazy to get anybody else. I want them to get a safe pick, a guy who's going to be on our team for another 8-10 years, be, you know, a Bear until he gets a little older, be a Bear lifer, and that's it. And he doesn't have to be a star. He just has to be a dude. That's all I want them to do.
Yeah. I mean, the Chicago can go so many different directions, man. Like I just said, tackle, receiver, corner, who knows, man. Quarterback, seriously. Like there are so many different
directions. Ian Book.
Well, I think Ian Book.
Book number one.
I think Ian Book's going to happen sometime in this draft for the Bears. It's going to be crazy when it happens, but I think Ian Book's going to happen.
That's why I'm saying it. What if they take him first round?
No. Fuck. Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Literally revoke my fan credentials immediately if they took Ian Book in the first round. 100%. 100%.
Well,
I'm just going to say one more thing about this Bears pick. They can't fuck it up, man. Like, this team is so old and so cap strapped. They can't fuck this up. Like, this pick needs to be a home run or else this is going to really hurt. It's going to really hurt. I'm nervous. I'm nervous, man. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, we could wrap it up.
Let's wrap this up. Jack, tomorrow's going to be an interesting day. I think there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. I think for Bears fans, there might be more downs than ups, but that's just me being very negative. But
yeah, my entire body, I'm not looking forward to. My entire body, I've said this to a lot of people, my entire body is ready for the greatest of greats and the worst of worst.
Yep.
We've been there. We've seen it all. We have seen every single what could go wrong and what could go right for the Bears with pace. At this point, fuck it. Let's see. I mean, he can't screw it up that much worse. That's it. Like, that's how I feel, but that's it. You guys know the drill. Check us out on socials. Do everything. Engage with us. We're the best. You're the best. Like always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.